Last Sunday morning, I brought you a message on the subject, Peace with God. And today, I'll be speaking on the subject, Redeemed with His Blood. Now, these two messages I'm going to put on the same cassette tape, one on one side and one on the other. And I believe they're messages that everybody needs to hear. Church members, those who are not church members, believers, unbelievers, those who claim to be saved and know God, those who lay no claim to knowing God. But I believe these are messages that everybody needs to hear. You can call them evangelistic messages or appeals to the lost or call to the unconverted or whatever. But these two messages I'd like for you to have, if you'll listen to the whole program, I'll tell you at the end of the broadcast how you can secure these two messages on the same cassette tape. Last week, Peace with God. Today, Redeemed by His Blood. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, the apostle wrote, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now, there are many things, many, many, many things about the living God and His redemptive glory that I do not know. I don't mind answering questions this way. I just don't know. Someday I'll know. Someday God will reveal it to me. But right now, I just don't know about many things. The Apostle Paul said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, to have arrived." He said, I'm not already perfect. And again, he said in 1 Corinthians 13, "We know in part. We prophesy in part. We see through a glass dimly or darkly." And Moses wrote this in Deuteronomy 29, "The secret things belong to God." There are a lot of secret things about God and redemption and eternal life, heaven and hell, the future, that I do not know. And a lot of things about the past I do not understand. I can't comprehend God. If I could comprehend God, I'd be God. But we receive the Word of God by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God doesn't have to explain Himself to us. He doesn't have to explain His will. He does what He will, with whom He will, when He will. And the secret things belong to God. But those things, Moses wrote, which are revealed, they belong to us and to our children. Let's don't play smart. Let's don't try to act smart, like we know everything there is to know about God. But let's state those things we do know. There are many things we don't know. Let's quit speculating and delving into things for which there's no answer yet. Then, face to face, I shall know as I am and have been known. But right now, in part. But there's some things which are as clear to me as that noonday sun. They're just that clear. And the Apostle Peter writes about those things right here. In verse 18 of 1 Peter 1. Do you have your Bible open? Look at it. Verse 18 of 1 Peter 1. He says, We know this. We're not redeemed. We're not saved. We're not justified by corruptible things such as silver and gold. I don't know all that Peter was talking to the Jews about, their vain conversation and Judaism and all their ceremonies and rituals and legalism and how they were not redeemed from those things and from those ordinances by silver and gold. They were nailed to the cross. But this is what I know as Peter speaks to me. I know that by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight. I know that. Any man trying to be justified before God by his morality is a fool, because we have no morality in God's sight. There's none good, no, not one. Any man that tries to be reconciled to God by his deeds of religion and by his works of religion and these things is a fool, because Paul said this. After Paul wrote about the condition of all men, Jews and Gentiles, pagans and and religious men. He said, therefore, Romans 3:28, after summing the whole thing up, he said, therefore, we conclude. This is our conclusion. That a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Without them. Without them. And he said again, if righteousness comes by the law, Christ died in vain. That's pretty serious. So I know that. I don't have to back up one bit on that statement. We know we are not saved by the works of the flesh and by the deeds of religion and by the works of the law. That's a fact. That's a fact. If Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to grow glory, but certainly not before God. Because the Scripture says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for holiness. All right, here's the second thing. I know, verse 19. We know we were not redeemed by the works of the law. And I know that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That's what it says. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. What does redeemed mean? Redeemed. You see it all the time. We have redemption through His blood. We are redeemed through the blood of Christ. It means to be ransomed. It means to be restored. It means to buy back. There, one of our missionaries in the Yucatan of Mexico told a story. When he preached here one time, he said there was a little Mexican boy. He and his dad had made a kite, a very good kite, beautiful kite, put a long string on it and a tail on it and took it out, and they were flying it in one of those little pueblos down in Mexico in the Yucatan, and the string broke. And his kite got away, and he looked for it, never did find it, never did. Well, a few days later, he was in another village, another pueblo near his own, and he passed a little shop, one of those little outdoor shops that they have on the corners of the street down there. And there was his kite right there in the window. And he went inside and told the man in the shop, said, that's my kite in the window. The man said, no, son, that's not yours. I found that kite, and I put it in my window to sell it, and I'm going to sell it for 3 pesos. The little boy said, but it's mine. He said, but it's not yours. It doesn't have your name on it. There's no way you can identify it. If you want it, you'll have to buy it. You'll have to redeem it. Because there's a price on it now, and it'll cost you 3 pesos. Well, he got 3 pesos from his daddy, and he bought his kite. And on the way out the door, he's holding the kite in his arms, and he said, well, you're twice mine, little kite. I made you, and I redeemed you. I bought you. And that's what the Lord Jesus says to us. He made us. It's by His strength and power we live. But He also redeemed us. How did He redeem us? There was a price on us. The law and the justice of God had a price on my head, and Christ came and paid it with His own blood. And He redeemed me. He restored me. He bought me back. And it says we're redeemed with His precious blood, the priceless blood, unspeakable. That's the way the Scripture talks about Him, an unspeakable gift, an unsearchable riches of Christ. His blood is precious because it's the blood of God. Paul said to the church at Antioch, the elders, he said, feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. This is precious blood. It's the blood of God. It's precious because it's the blood of the God-man. Never been but one God-man. That was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's precious because it was shed one time. One time. By one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And it's precious blood because it's holy blood. It's without spot or blemish. What do I know? I know this, and you better hear this, preacher. We are not redeemed by works and deeds of religion. No, sir, we are not restored. But we are redeemed. We are restored. We are bought back with the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Precious is the blood of Jesus, who can have its worth unfold. Far beyond our understanding, sweetly sung to harps of gold. Okay, now here's the third thing I know. This is as clear to me, like I said, as the noonday sun. I admit a lot of things I don't know. You say, I bet I could stump him with a question. That wouldn't be too difficult. That wouldn't be too difficult. There are a lot of questions I'm asking too, and I can't find the answer to them either. I will someday know. But here's something I know, verse 20. That this Christ, this Lamb without spot or blemish, by whose blood I'm redeemed, was verily, you reading it, verse 20, foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Is that what it says? It's exactly what it says. You know what it's saying? That's saying that Jesus Christ is not only the Redeemer now, He was not only the Redeemer in David's time and Abraham's time and Moses' time, but Jesus Christ has always been the Redeemer. There's no new gospel. Moses wrote of me, Abraham saw my day, and Abel's blood sacrifice typified Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb slain, ordained, and sent of the Father, yea, before the foundations of this earth were ever laid. That's exactly right. He was chosen of the Father and slain in the mind of God and the purpose of God before the world was. Before there was a sinner, Christ was the Savior. Before there was guilt, Christ Jesus was the gracious substitute. He was promised to our fathers in the Word. He was pictured to our fathers in the sacrifice. And He came in the flesh, manifest in person in these last days. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation by all men that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners of whom I'm the chief. Yes, sir, I know. I know I'm not saved by works. I know I'm saved with the precious blood of Christ. And I know that anybody else, after me or before me, clear to the millennium or back to the creation of this world, every son of God is saved by the same Redeemer who was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Some by looking to His coming, expecting, awaiting, believing in His coming, and some saved by looking back to his sacrifice on the cross. All right, here's the fourth thing. Look at verse 21. I know for whom Christ came and died. I know exactly the people for whom Christ suffered and died. It tells us right here. Let's look at it again. Verse 20 and 21. Who verily was foreordained, this Lamb without blemish and spot, before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. For you. And there's no period there. That's not the end of that sentence. For you who believe in God who raised Him from the dead. That's the folks for whom He suffered. That's the folks whom He came to save. That's the folks for whom He died. For you who believe in God. That's exactly right. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10:11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this particular fold, and them also I must bring, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. He gave His life as a lamb without blemish or spot for you who believe in God, who raised Him from the dead. That's the people He came and died. Do you believe? You said, No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that foolishness. To the unbeliever, it's foolishness. But to the believer, to those who are being saved, the cross of Christ, the gospel of Christ, is the power and wisdom of God unto salvation. And those are the folks for whom He came, and those are the folks for whom He obeyed the law, and those are the folks for whom He suffered, and those are the folks for whom He arose, and those are the folks for whom He intercedes, and those are the folks for whom He's coming, for you who believe in God who raised Him from the dead. All right, here's another thing I know. Knowing that salvation is not by works. Now, you can drive a peg there because it's going to stay. It's going to stay. Knowing that salvation, redemption, forgiveness, pardon, life is through the precious, precious, priceless, unspeakable, unexplainable blood of God, the blood of the God-man, who was ordained before the foundation of this world, who was manifested in these last days, who was our Redeemer from all eternity, who came to earth to redeem all who believe effectually, sufficiently, and eternally. All right, so we know this, that last line, verse 21, our faith and our hope is only in Him. Isn't that clear? Therefore, our faith and hope is only in Him. I don't know how to make the gospel any clearer. Why do we keep reaching for something else when it's free? Why do we keep trying to get people to do things that they can't do and produce things they can't produce? God doesn't require you to produce a righteousness, but to receive one. God doesn't require you to earn salvation. He requires you to receive it in Christ. That's clear as I can make it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the overwhelming flood. And when all around my soul gives way everything, He then is all my hope and stay. In God, my hope and faith is in God who purposed my redemption. My hope and faith is in God the Son who purchased my redemption. My hope and faith is in God the Holy Ghost who applies effectually, irresistibly, invincibly that salvation. Now, brethren, we don't boast of our knowledge. I'm not coming to you as an idle boaster. What we have by the grace of God. What we are by the grace of God. But I do rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do. I rejoice in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Let me give you, in the remaining time that we have, four tremendous themes regarding the precious blood of Christ as it is typified and pictured in the Old Testament. I love Old Testament pictures, Old Testament types. Someone said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. All of the New Testament is hid right there in the Old Testament. Spiritual eyes can see it, and spiritual eyes back then could see it. And the New Testament is the Old Testament unfolded or revealed or in full bloom. Oh, this is what David was saying. Paul said, this is what Joel was saying. This is what Moses was writing. This is what Abraham was saying. Yeah, the New Testament's the Old Testament revealed. We have one Bible in two covenants. But look at this. The Old Testament, the typical blood of the Old Testament, there were rivers of blood. So many lambs and turtle doves and heifers were slain on altars. The typical blood of the Old Testament and the Day of Atonement was shed and applied to deliver Israel from judgment and wrath. Now, do you understand that? Back in the Old Testament, God said in Egypt, put the blood, slay a lamb, put the blood on the lintel and on the two side posts. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You see, death was judgment and wrath upon Egypt. The anger of God, the wrath and judgment of God fell upon Egypt. And that blood delivered Israel from God's judgment and from God's wrath. Even so, the blood of Christ delivers us from the judgment and wrath of God. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. There is therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. Just like in Egypt, there was therefore now no judgment upon the firstborn, no wrath and death for the firstborn who were in the house under the blood, typical blood. picture, you see. So Christ's blood. So Paul said, who is he that lay, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. On him eternal vengeance fell, that would have sunk my soul to hell. All right, secondly, that typical blood of the Old Testament was shed to make an atonement. The word atonement is at one meant. Two at one meant. To make reconciliation between God and the people because sin had separated you and your God. God is angry with sin. In Leviticus 4, it says, the priest shall slay the bullock, and the priest shall make an at-one-ment, an atonement for the people. In Leviticus 17, the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement. An atonement. We use the word atone. How are you going to atone for that? How's a person going to atone, make good, reconcile? It is a blood that maketh atonement for the soul. You see that? Well, even so Christ, by shedding his blood, hath reconciled us to God by his blood out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue unto heaven. Look at Romans 5:10. If then, when we were enemies, and an enemy needs to be reconciled, an enemy needs an atonement to be at one-ment with the one offended. So if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death and blood of his Son, much more then, being now reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received an atonement. I don't see how I could make that any clearer. Anyone who doesn't see that doesn't want to see it. That's exactly right. Anyone who doesn't see it just doesn't want to. An atonement, the typical blood of the Old Testament, made atonement for Israel, reconcile. And even so, the blood of Christ is our without the shedding of blood, there's no atonement. There's no remission and no forgiveness. All right, thirdly, the typical blood was shed to cleanse and purify the unclean. In Leviticus 14, seven verses there, the unclean leper came before the priest, and the priest would slay the turtle dove, and then he would sprinkle the man with the blood, and then he would examine the man and pronounce him clean. Even so, the blood of Christ. Now, that's typical blood. That's typical blood. Even so, the blood of Christ cleanseth us. That's what Scripture says in 1 John. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth the unclean. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red, double dyed, like crimson, they shall be as wool, white. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it. He sanctifies and cleanses. He makes pure by his blood. Justification is by the blood of Christ. Sanctification is by the blood of Christ. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I'm perfectly sanctified, holy sanctified by the blood of Christ. And God says their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. By one offering he perfected them that are sanctified. You see, that Old Testament blood is a picture. And when that unclean leper came before the priest, he had to be sprinkled with blood. And the priest pronounced him clean. And I tell you, we unclean lepers are going to have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what they sing in heaven, unto him who loved us and washed us. All right, fourthly, the typical blood of the Old Testament was shed to confirm and ratify the covenant of God with Israel. God made a covenant with Abraham and Israel. And that blood ratified it and confirmed it. Exodus 24, listen. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and he said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." This blood ratifies and confirms that covenant. Even so, the blood of Christ is called the blood of the everlasting covenant. And he took the bread and the wine and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." This is the blood that ratifies and confirms and makes good this covenant. A testament is a will. It's called a last will and testament. And for a will and testament to be enforced, there must be the death of the testator. So men die and leave a will and a testament. They leave their riches and goods to others, and that testament is not enforced till they die. Even so, Christ, in his covenant and testament, left us all the treasures and riches of grace, but he had to die. Now these two messages, peace with God and redeemed by the blood, on a cassette tape. We'll send them to you if you send $2. Now here's something special I want you to see. The announcer will show you on the screen. I have three books. And in these three books, I have six of Paul's epistles from the New Testament. I have been writing Sunday school lessons, Bible class lessons, and commentaries for our church people. And I have these six epistles in three books, verse-by-verse commentaries, and if you want them, if you'll send $5, I'll send these books to you in return mail. There are three books, the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and then the other book has four of the epistles in it. And we'll mail it to you by return mail if you'll send $5. Send it to the address on the screen. Until next Sunday at the same time, I bid you a very pleasant good day.